This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
I think everyone's really excited about what Travis Hunter can be in the NFL, but I don't need the quotes on top of it of just how determined he is from day one to play on both sides of the ball. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. And again, not everybody is hanging Pearl on every word that this young man is saying. He's the reigning Heisman Trophy winner. He's electric. We all want to see this thing that, you know, we've really never seen before, because he's not talking about what Deion Sanders did, which is be a defensive player and special teams player with a package or two that's offense. He's talking about playing both ways on a full-time basis. We've never seen it. He'd be the Shohei Ohtani of football. And I just have an issue with him calling his shot so definitively before he's ever stepped on an NFL field. And the reason why I bring this up today is because he had some quotes to CBS Sports where he was asked, if a coach said you can only play offense or defense, what would be your answer? And he said, my answer would be to quit the sport.
Well, don't you think he already knows, by the way? I was actually thinking about the logistics of this question. At this point, and EJ has said this, like, it's not that it's scripted, but I think most teams have already decided what they're going to do. I think Travis knows he's going two or three, right? And I think he's had a discussion because they met with the team multiple times. So I think he's answering, he's saying something that he already knows the answer to. I have assumed that they've worked this out, right? It's something. It's an important, important draft question.
Well, no doubt, but here's the thing. We haven't even gotten to OTAs yet with these rookies. We haven't gotten to a training camp. We have no idea, and he doesn't know, as much as you want to try to script it out, we have no idea how this thing is going to go. What is it like when you actually get to this team? How are you adjusting? You know, do you have any injury issues? There's so much unknown. To say I would quit the sport if I can't play both sides, I think the answer that I really want to hear there is whatever helps the team. Mm-hmm. If they need me more on offense, if they need me more on defense, it's not just about what my personal goals are, even though they could help the team, but it's not about my personal goals. It's about what do you need me to do, and I'm going to do it.
But, okay, let's be real here. Dude grew up with Deion Sanders as coach.
I get it. But he's not Deion, though. He wants to be, but he's not yet.
I think he kind of is Deion. I mean, I think that's his model and just really the two-way athlete. The, you know, I know it's totally different, but Deion was brash enough to think, you know what? I can play baseball while, talking about not doing something for your team, I can play baseball and football simultaneously. Now, how would you view that?
I mean, there were a lot of people at the time who did think it was that was kind of a selfish move, but we were so, I think, blinded by the spectacle of it, right? Like, can he do it? Can he do it?
Yeah.
It didn't feel wrong, but I'm, you know, to be honest, I don't remember at the time, were his teammates ticked off about that?
I think that there were probably different rules for Deion.
Maybe.
And I think Travis Hunter, there are different rules for him. I mean, let's face it, most, there are probably other college players who've had the skill set to play quarterback and wide receiver. Nobody's had the audacity to try it. And that's what we're talking about. This is a bold, uncharted territory. I mean, you're probably right. He's probably going to get hurt 3 weeks in. But
well, I hope not. I'm not wishing that, by the way.
Well, no, no. But you're right that this is a real concern about the wear and tear in the NFL. But your question about attitude, I'm going to give him a total pass. I mean, I think that I think he's the reincarnation of Deion Sanders. And Deion didn't follow the normal rules, so I'm going to let him have an attitude that is not traditionally team first.
888-710-4ISN. We're also asking you on X, you can go vote. Travis Hunter saying he would quit football if an NFL team told him he could not play both ways. Is that a me first or a team first move? Me first is winning by quite a bit here. But again, if he's coming to your team, you're excited about it, right? You just don't want this to become a thing. Like, do you have to earn this kind of brashness? Like, I know Deion was huge coming out of Florida State and all of that, but, you know, he can kind of call his shot because he was Deion Sanders. We don't know yet if Travis Hunter is going to be an inner circle Hall of Famer like Deion or not. And I think you got to give him a little space to adjust to the NFL. He should give himself a little space.
Yeah, but he is going to be probably the number two pick. That gives you a big leg up. I mean, you don't draft a guy number two who you don't think has a chance to be a Hall of Famer. That's just not a thing, right? Like, if you're taking this guy number two, you expect him to be a superstar, right? This has to be a superstar. Otherwise, you should take Abdul Carter. If you don't think Travis Hunter is a unique talent like we've never seen before, trade out and get a quarterback. I mean, they probably would do that if they could. I mean, Cleveland, they need a quarterback. If they didn't think Travis Hunter was once in a million years, they would not. I'm jumping to a conclusion that they take him. But you got to think this guy's a Hall of Fame talent.
It is funny to me, just as a side topic here, how close we are to the NFL draft. And just there are teams out there legitimately have no clue who the starter is going to be. No clue who the starter is going to be in Cleveland.
Yeah, how many?
You have no clue who the starter is going to be in Pittsburgh. I mean, it's just funny to me that there's just a lot of question marks about this. And you have some quarterbacks who are sitting out there, but I don't think Cleveland's taking a quarterback now. Yeah. I think they should with Shador.
Well, what if they get one at 34? 33, actually, their first pick in the second round. Then you have a room of Joe Flacco, Kenny Pickett, and let's say Tyler Shuck.
You win in the AFC North with that?
No, but you're not winning it with Shador Sanders starting either number two. So I think that Cleveland's at a tough spot. They made a bad decision with Deshaun Watson,
and
they're still building out. I think, like you said, like every team can't have the Super Bowl on their goal list.
Well, that is true. 888-710-4ISN. So we're asking about Travis Hunter saying he would quit football if he couldn't play both sides of the ball. Is that a me-first move or a team-first move? I say me first, but Perloff says team first. Like, he wants to be out there. And this shows how dedicated he is. He will help the team no matter what. It is Wednesday, which means around here we do something called the Great Debate, loosely based off the news. This week we are reflecting on Rory McIlroy, who won the Masters and completed the career slam, winning all the Masters, all the majors. Sixth golfer to ever do it. So we're asking, what is the greatest sports triumph of all time? And quickly, I'll go around the horn for us. Or go ahead, Pearl. You can start us off.
I have Jesse Owens.
Jesse Owens. I went with the Miracle on Ice. EJ?
Magic Johnson, All-Star Game MVP.
He was the MVP after he was diagnosed with HIV. That was the triumph.
Yeah.
Manny?
Little Leicester City wins the EPL.
They were 500,000 to one shot, and they actually did it. And Bogish went with the Redeem Team. He was trolling us a little bit with that one, which was funny. He also said Carrie Strug, the Olympic, you know, gymnast, was also one he was eyeing. Let's go to Aaron, who's in Milwaukee. The greatest sports triumph, Aaron, is what?
Well, to me, it's Jackie Robinson. I mean, because he was voted Rookie of the Year, and it's not like he won that by hitting a home run. He got that because people who didn't even want him in the major leagues voted for him for Rookie of the Year, so that was great and quite an accomplishment. And then also Bill Russell on a team in Boston that a lot of people hated him. He came home one day and there was a human waste in his bed, but Red Auerbach not only said, hey, in restaurants, if Bill Russell can't eat with the team, then we're not going to eat there, but he made him the coach of the team, and he won a championship as a player coach during a time when a lot of people hate him because of his skin color. So those two things.
Aaron, they're great ones. I mean, Jackie Robinson's entire life is a career triumph, right? And same thing with Jesse Owens. And these bigger, you know, it's like societal along with sports. These are, you know, this is rarefied air. And this is why we love this topic, because it could be anything from a major upset of Leicester City, who came out of nowhere as an underdog, to Jackie Robinson breaking the color barrier, or Bill Russell having to stand up to racism in his own city.
You know, I thought of this in terms of what would you make a movie about? And I'm looking, there have been at least 5 movies about Jackie Robinson, and Jesse Owens has had 3. Miracle on Ice, well, you had a movie. I think that is, to me, that, like, we're talking about triumph. Is it a triumph enough to get a movie? And I think there, everything that's been said could easily be a movie.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah, or at least a documentary.
Well, I'd hope so, right? I'm trying to think if there's a Bill Russell movie, like a feature film. Documentaries, yes.
Well, wasn't there a great documentary about Bill Russell about 10 years ago that told that story about his house getting burglarized? I remember that being a big deal.
Yeah, I'm wondering, though, is it like... who's going to play Bill Russell in the movie? I think basketball players are hard.
Yeah, because you're so tall.
Mm-hmm. It's hard to pull that off. Zach is in New York City. Zach, what do you have? The greatest sports triumph.
Long-time listener, first-time caller to my favorite morning radio program.
There's
a story that's been buried for 2 weeks on this show, and I think it's the greatest sports triumph ever.
Wow.
And that's Zach Gelb making it there and back to San Antonio before Perloff goes.
Zach, you couldn't hold it in any longer. You had to call in. So, Zach.
Yeah, it's a joke. I go to San Antonio there and back there for 4 or 5 days. People were asking me, where the heck is Perloff?
But did you drive?
No, I flew. I don't lose bets like you.
Wow!
Zach, well, thank you for calling in. Zach Gelb, you can listen to him afternoons on many of these same Infinity Sports Network stations. Calling in just to troll Perloff here. How was San Antonio, dude?
It was wonderful. I didn't realize that San Antonio isn't as much barbecue as I thought, but Stu Kovacs, who you know well, we found a barbecue joint called Pinkerton. Stu had one of the most impressive accomplishments I've ever seen. He had a full barbecue tray, and then I actually went to the Spurs game, and then I found out that Stu went to Whataburger about like an hour and a half later. So, like, Stu could eat, man.
Bang,
it's ridiculous.
Bang.
But they do have some big old women.
I have been in a barbecue city with Stu Kovacs. So is Perloff. We all went to Kansas City when we were doing the draft a couple years ago, and Stu was on. He was like gung ho. Is the way I'd put it. He was on board. He's a great person to travel with.
I thought they were going to make him check himself underneath the plane, honestly, on the plane path. It was crazy. But in all seriousness, I do have a sports triumph for you.
Oh, okay. You know what?
Not just trolling Perloff.
Just you going to San Antonio and back before Perloff.
I don't think I want to hear the sports triumph.
Well, like, enough about Manny's, like, little soccer and all that stuff. I know this show isn't big on the Patriots, even though EJ has a Matthew Slater jersey, but 28-3, what are we doing? Greatest sports triumph ever.
I knew you'd go Pat. And no one saw it coming, Zach. The little engine that could.
It was a whole long year. You know, I won Super Bowl 49, didn't get there in 50, and then 51 down 28-3, and then bam, they win it all.
I think the bigger triumph was, isn't it the same year that Brady was suspended for the first 4 games, right? I mean, where he got railroaded
that witch hunt by Roger Goodell. That witch hunt.
I know.
Air pressure. People don't believe in science. It's a joke.
It was the 5th Super Bowl, right, of the 6? That was 5?
Yes. Brady has his 5th to toss to James White at the goal line.
Now, Zach, are you still a Patriots fan? Or are you more of a North Carolina fan or a Bucks fan? How are you dealing with your franchise right now?
Well, so I'm still a Patriot fan, obviously. The UNC situation is weird to me because the Belichick with his girlfriend, who's the secretary, and all the emails as well, and 24 years old, the more and more I see those photos, I'm like, Bill, what are you doing? Like, that relationship creeps me out a little bit.
Listen, maybe if he had been a little more flexible welcoming in some new ideas, maybe he wouldn't have run Brady off. You know, you could have 7, 8. You could have, who knows, you have 10 Super Bowls.
Yeah, it's still more than you, Maggie.
Well, I mean, everyone's got more than me. Thank you, Zach. And that's where we say goodbye to Zach Gelb.
Holy smokes.
I mean, Zach does have the Patriots run. It's pretty good.
Listen,
it was a pretty good triumph.
Patriots live rent-free in my head, and he knows that. So thank you to Zach. You can listen to him afternoons on many of these same stations. While we're talking about some housekeeping around here.
Yeah.
We do want to send out a huge congratulations to our guy, Pat Boyle.
Oh, yeah.
Who has been named the new overnight host on Infinity Sports Network. If you guys are listening to us on the radio, you're going to get Pat because the clearance for overnight is like all over the country. Pat's a good time. He's a lot of fun.
Hey-o.
Lots of sports takes.
Yeah, good friend of the show. Has always been awesome with us.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I got Centel.
Notre Dame fan, right?
Notre Dame Cleveland Browns, I believe.
Yeah. Cubs? No, he has a weird baseball team too.
I think he does dabble with the Cubs.
Yeah.
I know KO for a fact is a Cubs
Carlos
fan.
Yeah, Carlos is a big Cubs fan.
Pat's super fun. We get to hand off every morning.
I know. He's good leading for us, too.
No, it's really funny. And
I have dementia.
He's 3 for 3 with a good line every morning. You have to say something. Hey, good luck with this or whatever.
Yeah. Good little banter back and forth.
Yeah, you got to have a little banter at 5:55 a.m.
I want to go to one here. We're talking about the greatest sports triumphs. But again, congratulations to Pat.
Big nut guy.
We're excited for him. I have no idea if this next person is telling the truth, not telling the truth. EJ, I'm just going to go ahead and assume you vetted this. Steven's in Hawaii. We're talking about greatest sports triumphs. I've never heard of this before. So, Steven, go ahead. What is it?
Hello, everybody. This is Steve calling from the great city of Hilo, Hawaii, where we have our beautiful volcano going off. And I'm calling from station KPUA. And I'd like to talk about something that I think we can all agree upon. True sports legends are rare. So if they appear in our lifetime, we should consider ourselves privileged to have witnessed their amazing accomplishments. Don't you think so?
Absolutely.
The oldest sport in the world, if not one of the oldest, is the great sport of sumo, 1,500 years. And in that span, there have been 75 what they call grand champions, yokozunas. And in the July 2022 tournament, the great Hakuho, literally peerless in the world of sumo and possibly in the world of individual athletic competition, won his 45th championship.
Whoa.
Think about it. Bill Russell's 11 rings, Tom Brady's 7, Michael Jordan's 6. Don't even come close. Rocky Marciano's unblemished 49-0 record as boxing's heavyweight champion comes to mind. But Hakuho once won 63 consecutive bouts. Incredible. And in that tournament, he faced what they call a champion, Ozeki, who is now a retired yokozuna by the name of Teruno Fuji. Hakuho went up after 4 months of recovering from a serious knee injury, came back. Both fighters, both sumo wrestlers, were 15-0 going into the final. And Hakuho won that championship. It was his 45th championship in his 12-year yokozuna career.
Wow.
And he retired as the greatest, if not greatest, unblemished yokozuna in the sport, great sport of sumo. And if you're from Hawaii, you know sumo, because we've had some great sumo wrestlers like one grand champion, yokozuna Akebono, who recently passed away. And I just wanted to throw that in there because this was an amazing feat.
Steven, thank you for enlightening us on that. I was just riveted by you describing the history of sumo and Hakuho, and I didn't know anything about that. I did not also realize, I knew sumo's been around forever, for a long time. I'm reading this quickly on the internet, so it's a little like quick internet research, that the first sumo match, the year 23 BC? That's what the internet's telling me.
I would have thought Greco-Roman wrestling, something like that, would be a little bit older. But same, he said one of the older. That was one of the coolest calls we've ever gotten. I don't know what the heck, who he was talking about, but that was really cool. Fight sports are, they talk about triumphs. Boxing and UFC and sumo, they all lend itself. He's just such an individual achievement. You could have gone, we could have had 10 boxing feats.
Yeah, someone called in earlier, said Buster Douglas over Mike Tyson is as all-time great triumph.
Ali comes back.
Holly Holm over Ronda Rousey was a big one. She was such a big deal at the time. Ronda was so, but not Hakuho. This is like an all-time streak that we didn't know about until just now. I had an opportunity to go to a sumo match here in New York, and I couldn't do it, and I was so, because I had a conflict, so bummed about that. I always wanted to watch this.
Good story. I'm just kidding.
I need to make it happen. Maybe it's a show.
Show trip to Tokyo.
Can't drive there. So Perloff's out.
Damn it.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476.
Hitch a ride with Zach. On his private plane.
So thank you guys. Keep them coming. We're asking for the greatest sports triumph of all time. And guess what? We all just got a little smarter on this show. We've got a lot more to do, including what the heck is going on in Pittsburgh right now with the Steelers? It's M&P.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Great debate Wednesday. We're doing greatest triumph in sports history. What strikes me, Maggie, is the wide range of things people are nominating. We just had a sumo wrestler. We've had incredible comebacks. We've had societal once. It's incredible what people consider here.
I know. Sorry, I'm going to deep dive on Hakuho.
Yeah, did you confirm everything that the caller just said?
Yeah, no, he was right on. Hakuho was...
How'd you spell that, by the way?
It's H-A-K-U-H-O.
Okay.
And a Mongolian-born Japanese...
Mongolia Maggie, that's what we call her.
Former professional sumo wrestler. No, that's not where I was. I was just in... Just regular old Cancun. And he was a Yakuza. And that's what our caller Steven in Hawaii called in to say he had this incredible streak. We're talking about greatest triumphs. And he was Yakuza, the best of the best. And he was even the best of that. So
yeah, there you go.
And he recently retired.
Has anyone mentioned Tiger's last Masters?
Yeah, we talked about that.
Okay.
Maggie said you could put the 97 Tiger thing, 86 Nicklaus.
First Masters for Tiger or last Masters? Because the first one with him being the first black man to win the Masters was also an incredible triumph.
Yeah. The last one sounds better in my head for this question.
Because of everything he went through.
Also, it came off of Rory. And Rory's was in the same vein as the 2019 Masters. A comeback.
That's true. Let's go to the phones. 888-710-4ISN. Greatest sports triumph. Josh is in Michigan. Good morning, Josh.
Hey, I was going to go with Dale Earnhardt winning the 500 after 20 years after losing the race in every imaginable way.
Yeah, that was one of those in bigger than Rory, even, I would say Dale Earnhardt for sure, Josh, where everyone felt there was an outpouring of positivity around it. You know, like Rory starts crying on the green when he wins, and it was like even if you were kind of rooting for the trade him to screw up again, that you felt it in the moment for him.
Absolutely.
Same thing about Dale Earnhardt. He wins whether you're a Dale fan or not. I think everybody felt like the positive vibe.
Yeah, and he's still, to this day, probably the most popular driver. I mean, he's I think everybody loves him. And now I love him too because all he does is watch TV and comment on Prestige TV all day long.
I don't follow him on social
media. Dale Earnhardt's crazy, one of us. He does the same things we do every day. He's amazing.
Sports dad.
He's a huge football fan, obviously.
Let's go to our pal Sean, who's in Oregon. Hey, Sean, what's up?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, you guys. I got a most triumphant moment. It was about a champion named Muhammad Ali, who is stripped of his title in 1967 for not going to Vietnam War. Mm-hmm. And seven long years, he gets rumbled in the jungle against George Foreman, who is undisputed world heavyweight champion, undefeated fighter. And Muhammad Ali was 4-1 underdog. Nobody gave him a chance in that fight. And then that's a moment of redemption, and that is a moment of triumph. That's truly the greatest moment of triumph. And America loves the comeback story. And that was his greatest moment because America was so against the Vietnam War at that time. And when he won that fight, he won over America. He became America's champion. Have a great day, you guys.
Sean, thank you. But Ali was also criticized for that. You know, he had to deal with a lot of backlash from it, too.
Not going to Vietnam?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, right.
For being a conscientious objector.
Well,
and his reason why, which obviously was one of his famous quotes, which I can't say the full thing on the air. But
well, it's funny, too, because talking about movies, there have been so many movies about that particular fight. I would need a boxing historian to tell me, why is that more triumphant than when he finally beat Frazier? It does seem like that's the one that history is. Both of them were huge. The Ali Frazier triumvirate was incredible. But there have been two movies. When We Were Kings, I think, won the Oscar.
Yep.
And was it called Ali? Michael Mann's movie. Will Smith, incredible. So yeah, that you can't argue with that one.
Let's go to, how about Dennis is in Buffalo. Hey, Dennis, how are you?
Good, Maggie. How are you?
Fantastic.
Glad
What's
to
up?
Speak to you. Hey, I got a good sports triumph. First black man to win the Heisman Trophy. Ernie Davis out of Syracuse University. I don't know what year it was, but that was a huge change in culture for the United States to have a black man win the best college football player.
Yeah, Dennis, a great one. 1961. That's when, and thank you for the call, that's when Ernie Davis won the Heisman for Syracuse. So I want to get some more in here, not to gloss over Ernie Davis.
That also was a great movie about him, The Express.
Yeah, The Express is a great movie.
Go Bills.
Steven is in Boise. Steven, what's the greatest sports triumph?
Hi. I've actually got two. You guys mentioned Mark Spitz earlier. He won his Olympic gold medals during the 72 Olympics when they had all the terrorist stuff going on, and he is Jewish. Mm-hmm. So all the pressure he had because of that, because they were really keeping him under security. And then on a lighter note, Jim Abbott, who used to pitch for the Angels, only had one hand, was an Olympic gold medalist when they had baseball in it. Really an inspirational story. I think he was a great sports triumph.
Steven, great ones, both of them. Yeah, the terrorists who killed the Israeli athletes at the Olympics, such a horrible, yep. horrific thing. And Mark Spitz getting the record in the face of that. And then also Jim Abbott. How? I mean, Jim Abbott, I've been lucky enough to interview him, Perloff. Mm. He is one of the most down-to-earth, coolest guys. And how he pitched a no-hitter and how he would switch his glove from one hand to the other, it always kind of gets me choked up. I don't know how he was able to do that.
And he had a big career. He was not just a fluke by any means. I don't know. How many years did he pitch?
Over 10 years, I think. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, former Yankee. Pitched a no-hitter with the Yankees.
Definitely. Incredible. Yeah. Did he play college baseball at Michigan? He's from Michigan. I know that.
I also think, was he an Olympian? I feel like
What the caller just said.
Right, okay.
Did he ever hit? I feel like I've seen videos of him hitting, too.
He never had to.
Not in baseball.
Right.
But like at a certain level, like as an amateur, I think he could do that, too.
Oh, I don't know.
10-year career.
That's amazing.
89 to 99.
Unbelievable. Keep them coming, guys. The greatest sports triumphs of all time. We want to hear from you. Again, 888-710-4ISN. Bogus's headlines. What's up?
And a development, guys, this morning with Nico Iamaleava. We're told that the former Tennessee QB is now in the transfer portal with a do not contact tag, which usually means the player already knows where he or she's going. So we're getting...
That's a real thing?
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. I didn't know that.
DNR tag.
So we probably are, you know.
DNR, Manny.
Oh, I apologize.
Should we go around the room and guess what school it is?
Yeah. Why don't we see who's right.
I think it's UCLA.
I don't have an educated guess. I was pulling for Tulane just for the logo.
They pulled out.
They did, yeah.
Man, I was bummed when Belichick, said no. I thought that could have been cool. You said UCLA?
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to go with USC, I guess.
I mean, that'd be a home run for that dude.
Well, if you're going to make less money, maybe you decide to go with Lincoln Riley and say, all right, well, if I'm going to make less money, I'm going to go to the quarterback kingmaker. Anyone else want to guess, EJ?
My uneducated guess was going to be USC.
USC.
Where's Nico going?
I'll go UCLA.
I want to say Oregon, but Dan Lanning's the one who called Josh Heupel to say they contacted me. Because I was like, oh, that could be. Dante Moore was fine at UCLA. It's not like he's got tons of starts under his belt, though.
Yeah, and Andy Staples told us yesterday Ohio State's not even going to look there. Even though, they haven't totally settled. Now, the rule is you can't transfer within the SEC, so Alabama's out of the question, too.
You know what's funny about that, though? I would love to see that hold up in court right now.
Good luck.
Yeah, nothing holds up in court, because if you try to restrict anything the players do, a court just looks back at the 100-year hypocrisy of the NCAA and says, no.
Giggles.
In fact, they can do whatever they want. What else, Bo?
A quick NFL note. Potential Hall of Famer Tyron Smith will sign a one-day deal today to retire as a Cowboy. He played for the Jets this past season after 13 years in Dallas, making 8 Pro Bowls.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah. Trey Young didn't see the end of the Hawks' 120-95 play-in loss in Orlando last night. Ejected with 4:47 left for back-to-back techs for doing Trey Young things.
I told him I was sticking up for the squad, and I'm not going to let the rest frustrate me like that in our next game. I know we got a win or go home next, so I'm going to be ready, and I told the team I'm be ready for him. We got to go home and take care of business.
Trey got tossed for throwing the ball kind of hard at ref James Williams, then kicking that ball away from another ref after Williams rolled it down the floor. Williams told a pool reporter post-game Young was making a mockery of the game.
Did he not just want to throw a chair Bobby Knight style? Was there not one around that he could get his hands on?
So while the Magic claim the 7th spot and get to face the Celtics in round 1, the Hawks go home. They host the winner of tonight's Bulls Heat game on Friday. That one decides the 8th seed. The Grizzlies are the Hawks of the West, losing at the Warriors last night, 121-116, and now host the Kings or the Mavs on Friday interim head coach Tuomas Isalo.
There's nothing we can do to change this result anymore. So all we can do is try to learn from this and then apply it to the game 2 days from now. That's all we can do.
I definitely had a better inbounds play.
Yeah, there's that. I didn't get his name right. I apologize. But I also can't understand the NBA's pronunciation guide thing on his name. So
what is it?
So, I mean, his first name is, they have it just Tuomas. So is it Tuomas?
Yeah, their version of Thomas.
Yeah, but so I apologize anyway. The Dubs get to rest before facing the Rockets in round one. Jimmy Butler, 38.7 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 steals in the win last night. Did anybody, I know Manny didn't, did anybody pick Tyler Soderstrom in our home run derby?
The pitch, that swung on, drive to deep right field, just looking up as Palacios. He has done it again. A 3-run homer for Soderstrom, and the A's lead 9-3.
On A's radio, Soderstrom, 2 3-run homers in last night's 12-3 win at the White Sox. Mm. He now leads the majors with 8 home runs.
Wow.
What did Matt Olson do yesterday for the A's?
I got a cheapie off Bryce Harper, hit it about just over the second baseman's head and went out. We all going to have to combine to fight EJ's super team.
Well, I mean, EJ just was very smart and picked Aaron Judge.
He got Tatis, which was killing me too.
Yes.
But that's because Manny passed. Did you take Matt Olson number one?
Yes, that's the headline. Manny was smart. I'm sorry, I'm dumb. EJ was smart along the way, but the first mistake, the headliner, is Manny using number one on Matt Olson.
I know. To be fair to Manny, though.
No, there is.
You were playing hurt that day.
Listen, man.
Oh,
yes.
Number one, yes, I was.
You were not 100%.
Stop it.
Number one, yes, I was. Number two, I'm going to refrain from this conversation. Abstinence is the best decision.
I don't like this connection between you two. Taking him on vacation, making excuses for one of the most terrible decisions ever.
Don't be mad at me because I'm bilingual.
That is not my issue.
You don't think Manny would fit in well on my next family vacation with my entire extended family?
I mean, if you need to have somebody making terrible decisions on your trip, then sure, he's your guy.
Olson hit one last night, by the way.
Yes!
What an upset. How'd Mike Trout?
Matt Olson's probably going to hit 50 home runs. It's not like he's some scrub.
That was my logic as well.
You had logic? Mm-hmm. I thought you were hungover. Pick something.
It was a little bit of both. You can have logic while you're hungover. Come on now.
No, the logic, it like floods back to you. It's when you're still under the influence that you have no logic. Once it's passed, then it all becomes too real.
Probably make my most salient decisions while I'm inebriated.
Mm-hmm. That reminds me of the Homer Simpson line. Alcohol, the cause of and solution to all of life's problems.
Yep.
The Padres took their first home loss last night, 2-1-10 to the Cubs. The Blue Jays scored 5 in the fifth to beat the Braves 6-3, and Corbin Carroll grand slam in Arizona's 10-4 win in Miami. And from the NHL, the Maple Leafs clinched the Atlantic Division with a 4-0 win in Buffalo.
The Sabres stink.
The Wild and the Blues clinched the wild card spots out west. The only thing left to determine is the last wild card in the East. The Blue Jackets won again last night, so are 2 points behind the Canadiens with 1 game left to go.
Ooh, drama.
Back to you guys.
Cinema.
Appreciate that. Can I sneak in one more phone call here? We're asking for the greatest sports triumphs of all time. That's our great debate today. I would like to go to Marie, who's in Pennsylvania. Good morning, Marie.
Good morning. It's Mary.
Oh, sorry. It says Marie. But Mary,
yeah.
Great to have you.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you. Maggie, I'm going with your Miracle on Ice, but I'm going with it also because I have a little side story to go with it. 2 weeks before the Olympics, the Russian team was driving through Pennsylvania, Erie to be exact, and they had scheduled a hockey game with our Erie Blades for practice for them. And we all went, and patriotism was through the roof.
Wow.
So we always thought that was kind of cool that we got to see them 2 weeks before the actual game.
And do you remember how good they probably looked great, I'm assuming.
Oh, they looked great. We, of course, lost, but I can't remember the score. But it was just an exciting evening.
That is really cool. Mary, thanks so much for that. And that's fantastic.
That's a great story.
They're driving through Erie, Pennsylvania to get to Lake Placid, New York. That's Fetisov and
I think
Makarov.
I think they played NHL teams and killed them. So I don't know what they did to the Erie Blades on their way to Lake Placid.
Well, Mary couldn't remember the score, but it's amazing just to have that memory from 1980 is awesome.
The USSR bus just rolling through I-90.
Seriously.
Not literally. I-90 North, right there.
They actually made a documentary about Miracle on Ice from the Russian point of view. Have you guys seen this at all? No?
No, really?
In
English? Or?
Yeah. And it was just how devastating it was to be on the loser side of that and the fallout. But so many of those guys had these long NHL careers were on that team.
You know, Flyers have a fan. You guys ever heard of Kate Smith sings God Bless America?
Of course.
That's because the Flyers were playing the Russians and she sang it before. She was a famous opera singer.
Yeah.
And the Russians, I think they beat the Russians, and it was a miracle. Like, whoa, the Flyers were really good. That's how good the Russians were. They were the powerhouse.
Okay, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. So the greatest sports triumphs. You guys have such good ones here. Hang on the line. We're going to get to you. There's one I certainly want to get to when we get back, one we have not mentioned yet today. It's the Maggie and Perloff Show.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere. Applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And together, we host the true crime podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crimedy.
Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Welcome back, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Great debate today is caught fire. Loosely based off of Rory McIlroy winning the Masters, we're asking, what's the greatest sports triumph of all time? Now, nobody's putting Rory in that rarefied air, but you know, this was huge for him, and it got us thinking about even bigger things in sports.
Yeah, I think one thing about Rory, the emotion was there. That's what you need. You need something that really hits the feels.
You know, I yesterday we started talking about this topic. You said it's got to be something they could make a movie out of, right?
Yes,
like, that's got to be the bar. And this was not a feature film, but it was a riveting documentary. I want to go to Dave in Queens. Dave, your choice for the biggest sports triumph is what?
Well, you know, probably the biggest, but I got to give this one. It's a big one in terms of perseverance. This man, Alex Smith, when he came back from in that leg situation, yep. I mean, I don't even have a word to describe what that looked like. And then to come back, play very serviceable and be a gentleman about it and give a lot of people inspiration. And it's, comes back, wins comeback player of the year, and is just a gentleman all around. And it's like he was chosen to get this injury to give people inspiration, because he inspired me a lot when I saw that injury in that special. And when I saw the play, no one knew how bad it was. Ugh. And you know, that man gets my respect, and I'll give him always respect for the rest of my life. And good show, guys. Thanks.
Thanks, Dave. It's a great one. You know, if I hadn't seen the documentary, we all know that Alex Smith broke his leg on the field. It was a compound fracture, which means the bone comes out, and he actually got infected. Because it was like those little bits of turf that got into it. But that's just the beginning of the story. He almost lost his leg. He had so many surgeries, and not just to get the ability to walk again, but to be able to play football again, which he did for the Washington football team when he got back on the field. But he has done so much for veterans who have had like limbs amputated and things like that. He's really made this a part of his life, obviously. It's an incredible story.
Yeah, I mean, that's a whole different genre. Incredible comebacks from injuries. There are other guys who've done similar things. I mean, that guy's career was done. He was good.
Mm-hmm.
He was really good.
Definitely.
When he came back.
He was number one overall pick, Alex Smith.
To me, to fight through all that is incredible. I'm trying to think of other athletes who've done that, who you thought were had such a bad injury they would never come back and then found a way. Tiger jumps to mind. I thought he was done.
I mean, Joe Theismann's leg broke on TV. And
yeah, he never played again.
Yeah, he did not play again.
I think that might have been
Leonard
his last
Marshall.
Game.
DeMar. DeMar Hamlin.
Oh, well, DeMar.
Oh, jeez.
We didn't even think of DeMar. I just said DeMar who? One of the best moments
DeMar
in
DeRozan?
Buffalo Bills history. I mean,
DeMar Hamlin's a good one.
DeMar Hamlin's a great one.
Yeah.
And not just that, he's like a starter now. He was a sixth-round pick.
He was playing deep into the playoffs in significant plays.
No doubt.
Sean Livingston's another one, too.
Sean Livingston had a horrible one.
Oh,
Paul George.
Paul George, too. But you know who
compound
did?
Fracture, I think.
Kevin Ware, the Louisville kid, never came back. Did he ever get back?
No, he played for another team in college. He transferred. And
okay.
He played in the tournament.
Oh, so he did come back.
Yeah.
He came back.
I think he had a very brief European career as well.
I mean, EJ's pick today was Magic Johnson, who, you know, was All-Star MVP and played after his HIV diagnosis. Different type of illness, obviously. That's not a broken leg or something like that. But you also have had, you know, unfortunately, Lance Armstrong used to be thought of this incredible triumph.
He was the one.
Talk about inspiring millions of people with Livestrong and then the whole thing. Listen, he had testicular cancer. He did come back and he did win the Tour de France. The story is great. The problem is the story is tainted because he was using PEDs.
It would have been the front runner.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I think I had a yellow bracelet back in the day. I was into it.
Yeah. It was so inspiring. How could he do this? You know? And it turns out it was built on a lie.
That's the opposite.
Nadal's in Dallas. Nadal, you're going to have to walk us through this one. What do you got for the greatest sports triumph?
All right. Good morning. So first of all, Alex Smith, always a Kansas City Chief. Great story. The previous caller with Muhammad Ali, great story. That's a personal triumph to me because not only did I personally meet him, but got to hang out with him in his hotel suite in summer 92 in Kansas City. So that
was
greatest day of my life. I know, I can tell you that because I know for a fact my wife and kids aren't listening.
No, meeting Ali is like meeting royalty, no doubt.
Yeah, I can give you the details on another day. But my contribution to the debate is Greece. Greece in 2004, European Cup. Manny can appreciate this. So they've never won a single game in a major tournament ever, let alone a trophy, right? So they enter the European Cup as a huge underdog. They not only end up advancing, oh, by the way, a starter on that team, before the tournament started, scheduled his wedding, fully knowing and betting that they weren't going to advance past the first round. So not only did they advance, they get to the finale against the host Portugal and miraculously beat Portugal 1-0 in the finale. I don't know what happened to that guy and his wife. God bless him. I hope everything worked out. But, man, I think it was worth it. To me, it's worth it, man. A European Cup, Greece upsetting the world, just shocking the world.
That's awesome. You know? Nadal, thank you. They're definitely not getting the deposit back.
And not to mention that Portuguese team had a young fellow by the name of Cristiano Ronaldo as well, his first European tournament, his first international tournament, and the Greek beat them.
Man, that's amazing. 2004, big year for Greece. They had the Olympics that year, too.
Mm-hmm. You were there, right?
I was.
I was looking at guys who came back from injury, and there's one triumph I think we all forgot about.
What?
A guy who pitched with a bloody sock in a World Series
game.
Get
out of here, bro.
Or was that the ALCS?
ALCS.
ALCS. Yeah. Curt Schilling.
Curt Schilling's on this list. Give me a break. It goes Alex Smith, Curt Schilling, and Bethany Hamilton, the surfer who lost an arm. Who does not belong on that list?
I don't know. I don't know if he deserves to be nestled in between those two.
That was a triumph at the time. That has a little bit of a Lance Armstrong vibe.
Well, yeah, Schilling is just such a polarizing guy now.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people who don't think the sock is that the blood was real. That's a little credibility Schilling
it
has.
It wasn't.
Well, you're just a bitter Yankee fan. Let's go to, how about Mike's in California? Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
It's going great.
Good
to hear from you, pal.
Okay. Good to talk to you guys. So mine would be 1984 Olympics, Mary Lou Retton.
going into the first time an American woman's ever going to have a chance to win the all-around individual gold, going into the last two events with the vault and the floor routine to score perfect tens in order to win by 0.05 points to give America that gold medal. And she, kind of like what you guys were talking about, nobody thought she was going to be able to pull it off because she'd had the knee injury 2 years prior in the World Cup. So I think she definitely would be a triumphant one.
Mike, it's great to hear from you. Yeah. What have you been cooking lately? Mike is a fantastic chef and used to leave recipes on our Facebook page. What's on the grill these days?
I've been messing around with some different things. I've got something coming up this weekend that I never have thought of that I'm going to give a try for the first time, and that's smoked corn dog chili dogs.
I'm sorry,
what? You take the corn dog and you split it in half, you smoke it, then cover it with smoked chili and cheese and serve them up as a smoked corn dog chili dog.
That's right. Inspired, my friend. Right. That is just, if you talk about a mic drop of a recipe, Mike, thank you very much. No pun intended there. Good to hear from you. A smoked corn dog chili dog. I'm not really much of a hot dog person, but
there's a new trend of fancy hot dogs. There's like high-end hot dogs.
Yeah, like really super gourmet.
Yeah, I've been to, there's a place in Connecticut that's like a line out the door. It's pretty good.
So the thing, my whole thing about hot dogs is like, you know, obviously we don't want to know what's in them. Right.
Yeah. Okay.
So, like, something that bad for you shouldn't taste that good.
Know what the controversy is? There are a lot of no ketchup ever on hot dogs. There has to be mustard.
Ugh. I've seen those people.
Oh, I hate mustard.
Really?
Might be worse than Tex-Mex food.
We know your disdain for Tex-Mex.
You hate mustard.
Can't stand it.
But there's so many different types. Oh, brown,
I
yellow, Dijon.
I say I don't discriminate. I discriminate with mustard.
Ugh.
Huh. I mean, if we're going to get into the condiment debate, obviously more people hate mayonnaise. You're the first anti-mustardite I've ever met.
Big mayo guy myself. Hate mustard. Can't do that yellow stuff.
Huh. Well, we know if Manny ever loses a bet around here.
Oh, yeah.
You got some goldens coming your way.
I love mustard.
Thank you, EJ Stewart. Busy day for you today. Handled all the phone calls today. Thank you, Manny Rodriguez, Andrew Bogish, Andrew Kaplan. You guys on the phones, phenomenal. You can always leave us more of your greatest sports triumphs on our social media handles, Instagram, Maggie and Perloff, and also Twitter, X, Maggie and Pearl. And we'll see you tomorrow. Just a bad idea.